Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, well, we got a big game coming up in Canton on Sunday night. It's the USFL Championship, and we are excited to have one of the coaches in that game who is joining us right now. He is Skip Holtz, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Skip, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today. How are y'all doing?
We are doing great. How excited are you for Sunday night?
You know, I am really excited about it. And just, I was just here. We just got to the practice facility and just, you know, everybody, it's just a buzz. There's a buzz about practice. I think yesterday might have been one of our best practices we've had all year. Just the focus, the attention to detail, everybody's on board. I think everybody's really excited about this opportunity on Sunday night.
Skip, you guys had one of the best records in the USFL in the regular season with the Birmingham Stallions. The Philadelphia Stars, your opponent, did not. You feel like a favorite in this game or no?
No, I think when you get to the playoffs, I mean, because you look at the regular season and New Jersey beat Philadelphia twice. But then they come out in the playoffs and Philadelphia wins the game. And so with New Jersey winning the first two and then they won the one in the playoffs, you look at it, they started the season, they were 2-3 in their first five games, but ever since then have won 5 of 6 with their only loss coming as a 2-point loss to New Jersey, who was also 9-1 going into the playoffs. So I think right now they're playing really good football. They score a lot of points. They've got a wide open spread offense, and their defense is playing really well. And as you look at these games, I mean, I think everybody, even though we're 10-1 right now, and I think they're 7-4, but the difference, I mean, you look at it, they had a 2-point loss here or there. I think out of the 42 games that have been played in the USFL right now, there's only like 5 games that have been more than a 1-score difference. So I think there's just a lot of equality in this league. I think everybody's probably 2 or 3 points from being undefeated and 2 or 3 points from being winless almost. So every game is competitive, and we know it's going to come down to one play somewhere along the line.
Skip, it's been a unique journey for the league this year. I think because of the pandemic, it didn't bother me to watch games that maybe there weren't a lot of fans at, and just to watch an entire league play in one stadium. What's the experience of this year been like for you to have a hub site and, you know, still represent a city, although you were lucky enough to represent a team that, you know, where you were, but for everybody else, yep. it was playing in one site. What was that like for you?
Well, I thought it was awesome. No, I was the home team.
Right.
Yeah. Every week.
Yeah.
Even if we weren't the home team, I mean, just, I thought it was awesome. And I say that because the hub situation, which was really cool, because you not only got a chance to be around your players and your coaches for 10 weeks, but we all lived together. We were all in the same hotel. We all practiced at mostly the same sites. All our meetings were in the same hotel. I mean, so when you sit down and look, I mean, you were interacting with a lot of players in the league, a lot of coaches in the league. And so I thought it was great from that standpoint. And then when you look at the product on the field, the product has been solid as it can be. I mean, there's good coaches in this league. There's been good ball in this league. And so we've had a lot of fun with it. I've enjoyed it tremendously. I think the hub model is definitely different than anything I'm used to, but professional ball is I'm not used to. I've been in the college game for 35 years, and I said this earlier. I said one of the things that really puts it in perspective was I went out. We were staying here in Cleveland while we're practicing this week, and I went out, and I was at a little sidewalk cafe having something to eat, and one of our players walked by pushing a stroller with 4 kids and his wife. And I said, that's the difference in coaching professional ball and coaching a 17-year-old that's away from home for the first time. Much more mature, much more focused. They're all here for a reason. I don't think that the reason these guys are playing is just to play in front of crowds, and that's why I don't think that was that wasn't the motivating factor. The motivating factor is having the opportunity to get film and to compete and continue to play this game. And you've got guys on these rosters that some of them have been in NFL camps, have been on NFL practice squads, or even been active in the NFL, and they just want an opportunity to play the game. It gets taken away from us at some point. And for many of these guys, it's another opportunity to play the game. So I have really enjoyed getting to know these players and understanding their why and watch the motivation that they have to go out and play each and every week, even if there's nobody in the stands.
Skip Holtz joining us, head coach of the Birmingham Stallions, will be in the USFL Championship game coming up Sunday in Canton against the Philadelphia Stars. Skip, you coached in college, as you said, extensively. You know the NFL. Is there a real viable spot in the middle between the NFL and college for a professional football league that maybe gives those young guys you were talking about that opportunity to pursue that dream to ultimately get there? I've always thought there is, but it's never really worked since, what, the USFL in the 1980s was the best shot we had at it.
Yes, agreed. And even I think probably the mistake that the USFL made in the 80s was when they tried to compete head-to-head with the NFL. Because I do think there's room for both. And I say that, and it's been pretty obvious by the viewership, by the attendance, the support that we've received in Birmingham, the numbers, when you look at the viewership numbers on the television with the production, there is a thirst for football year-round. People are going to support it. People are going to watch it. People, especially if it's a good product. And I think that's one of the things that's really been obvious about this league and what it's done is that there's an awful lot of people that do want to watch football. And so I think there's a middle ground. What roles it play? How does it work? I don't know all those details, but I think right now the model that Fox is putting together and Brian Woods and Moose Johnson and what they're doing with it right now is certainly making it something that everybody's got to look at. Does it get affiliated with the NFL in some way, shape, or form? I think the NFL is constantly talking about they need training for offensive linemen and for quarterbacks. And I think what better way to have a player on your practice squad all year and kind of play a little bit of what they had in the NFL Europe, you know, where they would have the opportunity to send some players down. I mean, does it grow into that? Does it grow into a standalone league? I don't know where that merge is going forward, but I certainly think there's a number of viable options that are going to work. And I do. I think with the USFL's success this year and with Eric Shanks from Fox making the commitment that there will definitely be a second year, I think it's exciting right now to see what this is going to grow into. I tell that story. I walked out for the seventh game of the year, and one of the officials came up and said, congratulations. And I said, on what? He said, we're playing our seventh game. There hasn't been a spring league that's got past six.
Yeah. Wow.
So we are playing our seventh game. And it's not just that we played a full season in the first round of playoffs already. It's that it's been a great product, and it's been ultra successful from a viewership standpoint.
Skip, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question, especially because both Jeff and I are Kent State graduates. One, how's your dad doing? And two, I got to tell you, I had the opportunity to watch your dad speak in Columbus, and probably one of the best speeches I've ever seen him. Like, just stuck with me. And you know, he talked about the poem, The Dash, and yep. I've never forgot about that. Like, I still feel myself sitting in the room thinking about how important that speech it became to me after hearing them and understanding what The Dash is all about. And I'm just curious about, you know, your dad's influence on you, and how's your dad doing?
Well, a couple things with that. One, I'm a little disappointed you said it's probably the best speech you've ever heard.
Well, I got it.
A little disappointed you didn't say, without a doubt, the best, most impact speech I've ever heard. But
I have a father, too, you know, so I got to remember his speeches.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll accept that. I understand that role. You know, he's doing great. He had the opportunity to come up to our game last week. In Canton, the semifinal game, which is the first game he's been able to be at. He underwent some back surgery at the beginning of our season about 3 months ago, and it was the first time that he really felt like he could travel. But mentally, he's sharp as a tack. I mean, you sit him in a chair and let him talk, and he is still just as motivating and just as much impact. But he has been gifted with a talent, and he's certainly sharpened his skills as a speaker, but he does such a great job. The message is just so sound. It's old school. It's a lot of the values that he learned growing up in East Liverpool, Ohio, and going to Kent State University, things that he believes strongly in. And then he presents it in such a great way because he adds humor, his quick wit, with everything. And it's entertaining, but yet the message is unbelievable. And so I could tell you as a young man, I would, I'm going away to go to college 12 hours and I would sit down and have dinner with them. And I'm in that 12 hour drive to go to college. And I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to make a B. I'm going to go to every class. I am, you know what I mean? I'm ready to just trample the world when I would leave. About halfway through the quarter, I'd always have to call him and go, hey, Dad, a little advice here. I need some help. I need one of those motivational talks right now. I've missed stats class too many times to get an A. So, awesome.
I'm still amazed because I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking about the when I watched him, it was like 20 years ago. And yeah. I'm sitting here in 2022 thinking about it and just, I think about how lucky I was to sit in that room and then I'm wondering what that speech was for your dad. He said, hey, listen, you don't want to go down to the bars tonight. You need to study.
That's great.
Well, it was. I've been blessed. And I think sometimes you don't realize how blessed you are when you're in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he was always Dad. He's the same guy that would give me a pep talk and teach me from right and wrong and give me life lessons. But he's also the guy that wore me out in discipline when I did stupid things as a young kid. And so I don't think when you're in the moment, you realize just how special it was and just how fortunate you were. But as I get older, as we all get older and time goes on and all of a sudden you're here and you've been out of the house and kind of established, I'm 58 years old now. And I still look at my dad as, as my dad. I mean, he has been a huge influence in my life for who I am as a person, my values, my beliefs, my character. But he's also been a mentor. Had the opportunity to not only be raised by him for 18 years when I was at the house, but also to be mentored by him, and that I coached with him for 10 years at Notre Dame in South Carolina. And so he's a big part of who I am. I don't think anybody says, "Well, I'm going to do this because my dad did this," but we're all products of our parents. I mean, we've got certain part of their, their values and their belief system that they passed down to us. So as I get older, and I lost my mom 2 years ago, you really start to appreciate the value that they gave me. But I also appreciate the opportunity when I have time to spend with them as well.
That's awesome. We've always been big fans of your dad. I have a football question for you here because I heard it. I saw it, and I thought, yep, I like it. Here in Cleveland, we have terrific running backs, and we're in an NFL that now passes the ball like crazy and doesn't really use the running game sometimes as much as I'd like to see it used.
Right.
You ran the T formation this year. That's quarterback and three running backs.
Yes.
Where'd the idea come from? How often did you use it? How effective was it? And could it work in today's NFL?
Well, I will say it this way. It has been around forever. I know there's been a lot of people that have kind of poked fun at us for getting to it, but they're putting up pictures next to our T formation from 1918, when there was no forward pass. and that's what people ran and they were setting football back 100 years. But it was, Woody Hayes ran it at Ohio State. My father was on that staff. Earl Bruce was on that staff. I had a chance to work for Coach Bruce at Colorado State, and we ran it, the T-bone there. And then I went to Notre Dame, and we ran it there. And then I took it with me as a head coach to Connecticut. We ran it in South Carolina. I took it to East Carolina. I took it to South Florida. I took it to Louisiana Tech. And what happened here, we just had very limited numbers early in the season. And when they expanded the roster from 45 players to 50, we were able to pick up Bo Scarborough. And it gave us another back. And I said, we were struggling in short yardage. And I said, we're going to the T formation. And it has been very successful for us, especially, as you said, in this day and age. One of the reasons that I've carried it, one of the reasons I like it so much, is in this day and age with all the spread offenses and the passing game, you lose your edge, you lose your toughness edge. And the red zone and third down becomes very difficult to get. with everybody trying to outnumber you. And so I think it just creates a toughness mindset for your football team, and that's why I've always liked to carry it. And if we get in that situation, you're going to see it again on Sunday night.
Awesome.
Skip, last question for you. How's Canton been for the last week and a half here, almost 2 weeks? And, you know, could Canton host – do you think – I love the fact that Canton's hosting the finals, but what about maybe when expansion rolls around, maybe seeing a permanent team there?
I think – I mean, the village that's being built right now with the Hall of Fame is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – it's going to be incredible when it all gets done. I don't know what that production date ending is, but – with all the construction going on, with all the fields that are out there and the practice space that's out there for our players to have the opportunity to visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They have a little USFL segment in there, and they have players' shoes that were worn the first week, et cetera. It's been awesome. It's been a great experience for us to have the opportunity to be there. I think Tom Benson Stadium is off the charts, state of the art. Chair back seats in every seat. There are no bleachers. It is a smaller venue. It's not one of those 60,000 seat stadiums, but to know the history and the tradition and where you're playing and how the NFL starts there. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And I think with this model right now that Fox has put together, I think it's going to be interesting in a year or 2 years, whenever the expansion starts to come together, where they start to branch out and play in their home cities and give these home cities the opportunity to support these teams. I think it's going to be neat to see who's really willing to step up. But I think from a facility standpoint, it would be outstanding to have a place in Canton.
Skip, best of luck on Sunday night. Thank you. We ran out of time before I asked you about your 1 year of living in Columbus when you were 5 years old. So you avoided that question.
A lot of history here in Ohio as we are practicing at Baldwin Wallace and everything, which is where my father grew up in East Liverpool, and all the time we've spent there in East Liverpool with family and friends there and practicing, being at Canton and then being in Cleveland at Baldwin Wallace. It's just really been trip down memory lane for me. A lot of great memories here. My son was a graduate assistant at Ohio State. My father coached there when I lived there when I was young. Just a lot of great memories for me coming back here to the great state of Ohio.
Skip, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Best of luck on Sunday.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye now.
You too. Skip Holtz, Birmingham Stallions head coach. You'll see the USFL Championship Sunday night on Fox, 7:30, Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. Really cool, though, to reminisce with him and talk about his father and everything that's going on with the USFL and appreciate his time. Let's get to NBA free agency here in a second. By the way, Skip Holtz was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I do want to take one phone call really, really quick. I want to hear from Robert in Brecksville. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Well, I'm smarter today for realizing that you and Felsie need some serious marriage counseling.
Oh, we do?
Yes. I know it's a bit 40 minutes old, but wait 40 minutes to say that, but
it's okay.
Like, come on. All right. So the first thing is, did any of you have a chance to listen to Hammy's side of the call last night?
I did not, no.
No.
I know. I listened to him all the time.
If you could find it, it's on Twitter. The Guardians page tweeted it. Listen to it, because I don't even think Hammy realized that ball was either going out or that it was going to be fair, because he didn't start getting hyped up until about until that ball was well over like left field.
Well, didn't you think it was foul? Didn't you think it was – I thought it was going to go foul.
The tone of him speaking what was happening sounded like he thought it was going to go foul.
Just watching it on TV, so.
Yeah, same thing with, like, Matt and Arch. But anyways, so what I wanted to compare is his home run. Like, it's funny that caller yesterday said he wasn't going to go to any games or anything until, like, they started winning. And then all of a sudden, Naylor hits that walk-off. So I'm like, you need to get that guy back on again for the rest of this game.
Well, he wants him to go 162-0 and win the World Series, and then he's going to go.
So I wanted to compare it. Like, it got me thinking, like, say in this scenario, let's play a little hypothetical Wednesday, even though it's Thursday. Say it's Game 7 of the World Series on November 11th. We're hosting, and Naylor does the same exact thing. Or we're hosting the AFC title game, and it's 90 seconds left. We're up by four, and Miles gets a forced fumble, turnover, and we clinch an AFC title and go to the Super Bowl. What, just player reaction alone, what do you think is going to be bigger? Naylor doing something to win a World Series, or us just going to the Super Bowl in that scenario? Because I still think Naylor's reaction will be better than the Browns going to the Super Bowl.
All right, Robert, thank you. Appreciate it. That's such an intricate question. I might need a little bit of time to think about that.
Jeff, Naylor may pop blood vessels in his head.
It was weird. I'm teasing.
I love that he doesn't wear batting gloves, by the way. Love it.
I just don't like the emotional roller. Like, you know, sometimes we'll go crazy on the show and we'll be like, I'll start yelling and screaming. And then I'll be like,
no, not us.
Hi. And then I'll be like, hi, everybody. I'm Andy Baskin for Widgets. And you laugh every time I do that. That was him last night.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I mean, he was so amped as he was going around the bases. And then all of a sudden he goes through the interview and Dre's like, so, you know, 2-2 count, what were you thinking? I just, you know, was hoping to put the bat on the ball.
Trying to hit it hard.
All right, let's get to the NBA here, Jeff. NBA free agency. I want to talk about Colin Sexton for a second. Restricted free agent. Yep. Let's start there. What's happening there?
Got me.
Baskin and Phelps, 92-3 the fact.
Do you think someone else is coming after him?
Who wouldn't want
24 points
a young guard who can score 20-plus a game for you? Who wouldn't want that? And you know who wants that? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Now.
How much, though?
Is that the right fit? You know, that's, you know, first of all, we're talking about an absolutely insane basketball league, professional sports league.
As far as payment?
And I say that for this reason. I get it, and I understand the cap flexibility, and I understand, okay, if I turn this down, I can get an extra year and more long-term guaranteed money. I get all that. How absurd is it that a guy, James Harden, turns down his player option, and it was, what, $47.4 million? He turned down an option that flat out guarantees him almost $50 million. Now, okay, you might want to help your team, and you can get a mid-level this way, and you get a trade exception, and blah, blah, blah. I get all that. But what happens if Daryl Morey wakes up tomorrow and somebody calls and offers him some kind of a great trade, and he thinks, oh, my gosh, I have to do that. And then all of a sudden, they don't want James Harden. That's extreme hypothetical. So it's just wacky to me. The guy walked away from almost $50 million guaranteed. That's insane, right?
That is insane.
Breaking news.
Breaking news on 92.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. John Wilmer of the Pac-12 Network, source, USC and UCLA are planning to leave the Pac-12 for the Big Ten as early as 2024. Move has not been finalized at the highest levels of power. But according to Joe Wilner of the Pac-12 Network, source, USC and UCLA are planning to leave the Big Ten as early as 2024. And the Pac-12 hotline, by the way, I said that wrong for where Joe Wilner works.
That is gigantic. Now, I've heard rumors of this before.
They must know airlines.
Wow. USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten. Do you ever think you'd say that in your lifetime? Again, this is a report from who?
Joe Wilner of the Pac-12 hotline. Who knows things?
Do we know the number for the hotline to make sure this is 1,000% correct?
Who knows things? This was got the stamp of approval by the Poobah and the stamp of approval from Keith as well.
All right.
So,
that's gigantic, especially. And again, the first thing I thought of was some of the teams that are out west, like Nebraska, and now are other teams going to follow suit? I also think this is sort of the disintegration of the conferences too. Like they're in. If they're in, who's going to be next? How many other teams will the Big Ten bring in? This is gigantic.
How many teams might leave?
Oh, I don't know that anybody's leaving the Big Ten. There's too much money. Why would you leave?
That's what they thought in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but there's no way they're leaving the Big Ten. Why would you leave? If you were a smaller, like Northwestern is a smaller school in the Big Ten, why would you leave? And by the way,
because you get your brains beat in?
Not in every sport, though. I mean, you're just worried about football?
I know. It's not just football. It's just, you know, think about, do you want to be the place where you know you have very little chance to win something? I don't know that to be the case.
Yeah.
But Lincoln Riley just went out there to USC, correct?
Yes.
So their football program should be back in upper echelon.
That's
the one thing about the Big Ten, as opposed to, say, the SEC. You have so many teams in the SEC that are pretty darn good. And I'm thinking football here.
Right.
That's the cash cow.
I don't know.
That's the cash cow.
Right.
How many teams, realistically, can win the Big Ten every year in football? Five, what? Six, four?
Oh, right now? Ohio State, Penn State,
Michigan.
Michigan State might be there soon.
Eh.
Might be there soon. You got four, but now you put these other schools in there.
Might have six.
It might help.
More competitive.
As long as we don't go back to legends and...
Well, Northwestern, Illinois,
but
Indiana,
Jeff,
Wisconsin, of course, can compete.
Again, look at the money here.
No, I am looking at the money. I get that.
Jeff, you now have.
Unfortunately, that's the tail that wags the dog.
Of course, especially when it comes to Big Ten Network and television.
Sure.
So Rutgers, market one. Yep. Forget about what you think about Rutgers football. They carry market one, New York. You now have LA.
Although,
does
anybody in New York actually care about Rutgers football?
Jeff, it's not about that. It's about the
households you have available.
That's
to you.
Right, and yeah, the money that they get back on the households by selling off the. Say they sell the, you know, Big Ten. I don't know what it is the cost to have the Big Ten Network on your package there that you're selling, whether you're, you know, over the air or your cable or whatever. Not over the air, cable or satellite or any way you may bring it in through streaming. That's more money, and you get paid per household as that stuff comes in. So, again, market one, New York, Rutgers. Market two, Los Angeles with USC and UCLA. Market three, Chicago with Northwestern. I mean, you're really looking at – I mean, and by the way, Ohio State is three markets. It's Columbus, Cleveland, and – well, it's more Columbus and Cleveland. I don't know that it's all Cincinnati, especially because of the way the Bearcats have been playing lately, but – you're dominant. That I don't know how that what that equals as far as market size compared to the other ones. You know, Wisconsin's Milwaukee. I'm looking at Purdue, Indianapolis. Okay, Chicago, right? Again, other with Northwestern with Chicago. Minneapolis is a pretty big market. Detroit.
I mean, you've got
Detroit with Michigan.
You want to know the truth?
Maryland, you've got the D.C., Baltimore.
Yeah.
You want
the truth from me?
Yeah.
Feel sad.
For the Pac-12?
No, not in the least. I liked it when conferences had specific geographics and long-lasting rivalries, and rather than just kind of free agent conference play. And that's become more commonplace in this day and age. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's actually cool that they're going to come to the Big Ten, but I also think it's kind of sad. I do.
I wonder, we'll come back to NBA free agency here too. I'm also curious what people think about this breaking news. Again, the story is?
UCLA, USC.
Reported by?
John Wilner of the Pac-12 hotline source. USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. Move has not been finalized at the highest levels of power. Also, to add into that, guys, Big Ten's in the middle of negotiating a new contract for TV revenue as well. So probably something to keep an eye on.
Here's another question. Like, what does that do to the Rose Bowl? Let's think about that. Just think about that for a second. 216-578-0092. 216-578-0092. I guess that makes it a home stadium for the Big Ten, though. They'll be able to go in there and play UCLA or play USC or just, I don't know. It's weird. All right. So let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.